Yo, welcome to the Two Broken NYC podcast. This right here is Johnny Facts. I'm right here with my co-host,
Axel Flex.
And yo, today we're just going to talk about the average New York experience while when working in the city. And I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the beauty and the beast of working in the NYC.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you start it off today, Johnny?
Alright, so let me tell you something. When you work in the city, you take the subway. You get off the subway. You go to work. You got lunch. Right? Now, you forgot to go to prepare your pre-made lunch from home, so you decided to go out. You decide to walk around the city. You got a hankering for something spicy. Now, the beauty of New York City is that there is not one solo restaurant that you can get your spicy spicy hunger for, right? There's multiple. In New York City, you can have many different varieties of culture to satisfy your spice hunger. So if you want Mexican, you get Mexican. If you want Indian, you get Indian. You want a little spicy Italian, you go to an Italian restaurant. You know what I'm saying? It's different.
They got Thai too?
Thai, yo. Forgot about Thai. About that.
You see what Johnny's trying to say, everyone, is that when you're in New York, you can get anything you want for lunch. You walk outside wherever you work in, I guarantee you, you're in walking distance of a Mexican spot, an Italian spot, an Indian spot. There's a steakhouse. There's going to be a steakhouse in walking distance, a Chinese food place, a Thai place. Everything is everywhere, and that's the amazing part about it. Because New York is literally the...
It's the place to get a little piece of the world in.
What's that term that I'm looking for, Johnny? It's like they say melting pot, but there's a word before it. Is it a cultural melting pot?
Yes, it is. It's a cultural melting pot. It has everyone around the world, everyone of different cultures in the Big Apple.
Yeah, and you see, that's the beauty of New York. It is such a cultural melting pot that if you don't pack your lunch, you will find something that you will enjoy. And that's my favorite thing about working in Manhattan, just the fact that everything is everywhere.
You're never going to get bored.
Yeah, no, as simple as the building that I work in, downstairs is a burger joint, there's a salad bar, there's a Chipotle. Right across the street, there's actually a halal stand where you can get your chicken over rice. Mm-hmm. There is a Mexican truck where you can get your tacos, your quesadillas.
Your burritos.
Yeah, two blocks down there's a steakhouse. Actually, go back to right across the street, there's also a pizzeria, an authentic pizzeria. I'm talking about the New York Italian slice.
Made from real Italians, you know what I'm saying? You can't have a New York pizza if it's not from Italians. You know what I'm saying?
No, it doesn't work out. And you see that's the beauty of it. If the only thing that can get better than eating food in New York, you have to go to the country where the food originated from. And that's my honest opinion there. Like, the Thai food in New York is great. If you want better Thai food, you gotta go somewhere. You gotta go back to Thailand. I don't think you get better than that in New York. It's just that diversity that you get in New York, and it's not just limited to just one neighborhood. But literally, when I walk down from my building, I'm in walking distance of everything. What about you, Johnny?
The beauty of New York City, right, is just you going to lunch inspires your next trip. Your next trip to another country. You know what I'm saying? Because think about this. The restaurants you have here in New York City is just a little taste of the culture. Right? If you go to K-Town, Koreatown, You're having Korean barbecue. You maybe have a little Vietnamese food, little Thai food. You know what I'm saying? Japanese food on the side. That eating those food inspires you to, you know what? Next trip I'm doing, I'm going to Korea.
Yeah, no, I feel you there, Johnny. Like, at my old job, literally about a block and a half down, there was this one Thai spot. They had the best lunch special. I'm talking about, I mean, it's New York prices, so $15, but you see, you get a Thai iced tea, get an appetizer, and you get your meal. And I ended up trying everything on their menu. I would be there once a week, and now, because of that, I want the authentic stuff from Thailand, and that's in the future. Once this podcast starts paying, I'll make the attempt to go out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. When you are able to travel, you gotta go see the world. You gotta just, like, you want real-time food, you go to Italy. You want real...
Yeah.
Caribbean food, you go down to the Caribbeans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want
food. If you want all of it, you come over to New York. That's the only way.
Mm-hmm.
The only way. But I made a good point just now when I said, when the podcast starts paying. So if any of you guys are trying to sponsor Johnny and I, we definitely will appreciate it. Just send us a DM and we'll be in contact with you.
Oh, definitely. Don't worry. If you shoot us a DM, shoot us an email, respond. We're gonna respond real quick.
Oh yeah, yes. But it's one of the amazing parts, and not just like you said, got me the food. But then you know you start talking to the people at the restaurant. You make new friends, you go there, you go to different bars, everything. But you start learning about so many different cultures when you're in New York. You just get immersed in everything, and it's one of the beauties, in New York itself.
Oh, yeah. Just, you go to a restaurant, and you don't know any of the food, any of the food's names, and you just ask the waiter or waitress, it's like, hey, what exactly is this dish? He smiled to me, they smile, and it's like, oh, you want to know about this dish? Okay, well, this dish is made this way from this plant, this type of animal. You want to try it? If you want to try it, I suggest you also get this appetizer that goes with it, because it pairs well with this drink.
Dude, there's this Indian restaurant spot about a block or so down from where I work. I go so often, I walk in there. The guy just sees me, he's like, I got your order ready, buddy. Like, that's the amazing, and I don't even know how you call good. I'm talking
because
about
it's like the bodega.
Time and time, this guy is seeing thousands of people every single week. Yet he can remember my order.
Because
I don't even go there every day.
Because it's like the bodega, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when you go to the bodega, you order the same sandwich every day at a certain time. That dude sees you. It's like, yo, I got you, man. I got you, Axel. You want a bacon cheese with some bacon on the side, with a little bit of hot sauce on it. I got you, man.
A lot of hot sauce, man. A lot of hot sauce.
You know what I'm saying? But that's also just like the... That's good customer service that you get from New York City restaurants.
Yes.
Everyone pay attention to their customers and do their best in catering to the customer's needs. You know?
Yeah, you know, it's one of the amazing parts too about New York, unless you're going to a steakhouse, right? You go to most restaurants for your lunch break. They get your food out quick, and these places are jam-packed. They're serving lots of people, but yet you can get your stuff ASAP. I don't know how to do it.
Because they're New Yorkers, you know what I'm saying? They understand. They understand what New Yorkers want. They also understand that you got to feed New Yorkers before you feed tourists. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But everybody, while New York is full of beautiful food, beautiful culture, let's dive straight into the beast of New York. Because I think... that's the real interesting part right there. Am I right there, Johnny?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, like, it's not all just glitz and glitters. You know what I'm saying? It's not all just glitter and stars.
You know, let's start right there with the glitters. Times Square. When everybody pictures Times Square, Because most people that don't live in Manhattan, in New York, that is, they don't really know the real Times Square. When you see this on TV, you're watching the ball drop, it's like, wow, all these people are there peacefully waiting for the ball to drop all of the billboards. It looks so nice, it's so bright, it's so beautiful. Have you ever walked through Manhattan at 7 a.m. to go to work? Is it beautiful?
No.
Is it peaceful? Is it smelly?
You saw 7 a.m. in the morning when no one's in there? No one's in the city like that?
Yeah. People's getting to work 7 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Not too busy.
It's beautiful. But
it's beautiful. Right? It's beautiful. It's semi-peaceful. But is it smelly, dude?
Oh, well, I don't want to deter any tourists that want to come to New York City, but I gotta speak the truth. It is, you know what I'm saying?
Disgusting.
It is. Like, occasionally, if you just look around a little bit, you might see a little bit of a New York rat coming in, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which are big. New York City have the biggest rats in the city. We have the biggest rats out here.
I'd say, if you compare the size of the, what are those dogs called? The Chihuahua? It's about the size of the New York rat right there.
Mm-hmm.
About the size, give or take. So, you know, you'll be walking down the street, the rat will be walking down the street, you know, just a regular morning out in New York.
He's walking around with his Timbs, you know, with his fitted cap, you know. It daps you when you walk past it, you know. If you don't, it bites you. Because, you know, full respect.
And then while you're there, like, that fresh New York air hits you. And when that air hits you,
you hope you didn't open your mouth. You hope you wasn't young.
My first job in Manhattan was actually near Times Square. So I'd get off and I'd be walking. I remember I ran up the train one morning, right? Got out, started walking. Had my mouth open because I was running. I was like gasping for air. And that scent hit inside my mouth. And I tasted everything. I felt so sick, dude.
At least you didn't take a bathe in the water, man. At least you did not dive in, put in the water to you know, get yourself a nice morning swim. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, on TV, they make Times Square look so beautiful, and it is. It's beautiful, but it's disgusting at the same time, and I think that's what most people don't realize is how disgusting it is out there. And then when you factor in the other things in Times Square, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that I think most people don't know about when it comes to Times Square. The one hidden gem of it, actually, besides the billboard. You know what I'm talking about here, Johnny?
Are we talking about the average New Yorker's problem in Times Square? Are we talking?
Which is? What do you think that is?
Starts with a T. I'm gonna let people just guess it. Starts with a T.
Mm-hmm.
I know
everybody's thinking it. It's the Taurus. Yeah, you know, it's not just so tourism is beautiful. It generates some money for the city. You know, everything's great. But the one thing that probably pisses off New Yorkers the most are the tourists in New York. How ironic is that, dude? The capital of tourism is the thing that pisses off the people that live there the most.
We love that you love visiting our city, but we don't like you in our city.
it just baffles me. Like, you guys come to the city as a tourist, and you see the pace that everyone's walking. Like, people don't walk slow in Manhattan.
We walk fast. We walk fast.
Just follow the pace. And you know what's the worst, dude?
Mm-hmm.
It's the husband, it's the wife, and the kids, and they take up the whole sidewalk.
To take pictures.
The whole sidewalk. No, let's not get rid of pictures. Let's just talk about the walking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the husband's holding the wife's hand, the wife's holding one kid's hand, the husband's holding the other kid's hand. It's like a chain. Like they're walking down all happy, all slow, half a mile an hour. It's like, look how tall this building is, Daddy. Look how tall, no, sweetheart, look, that building's taller. No way, I think that building's taller, Daddy. Let's compare it. Let's stop right here and compare the size of these buildings.
And then I'll be right behind him, just like, hey, could you speed this up, man? I gotta go somewhere. Why are you stopping? What? Yo, you taking up the whole block, man. Come on.
Yeah, now us, as New Yorkers, gotta be like, all right, you know, let's not interrupt their fun. So we gotta go walk around them on the street and almost get killed by a yellow cab and then come back on the sidewalk just to go around.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be real, if a yellow cab sees you on the street, they stop it or they go in?
No. They believe that they're not going to hit you, so they speed. They believe they're not going to hit you.
They'd be like, you get out the way, man, or we'll be pushing you out the way. That's the yellow cab for it. But, so there's the slow walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's worse than the slow walkers, right? Worse than the slow walkers is the picture takers.
Because no New Yorker don't want their picture taken, you know? We believe that.
Let's not even talk about getting the picture taken, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's go back to the family scene, right? The husband, the wife, the kids. How much people on average on a New York block at one point, especially in Times Square? We're talking about probably a couple hundred people on one block.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How inconsiderate are you to stop the entire sidewalk to take a picture? Like, get that shit out of here.
Dude, they don't even see that. They don't even see your angry face. They just off in their own world.
Literally, they would be walking and then they would stop. They would stop and everybody stops and then they take a picture. And then they don't take one quick picture. They'll take it and they'd be like, is it good? They'd be like, no, let's take another one. Okay. And then they'd be like, Dad, you get in the picture. Mom, you go take the picture, Mom.
Wait, yo, dude, have you ever, one time while trying to get out the train station, you take the stairs, and suddenly a group of tourists, a family, don't know where they're going, so they stop in the staircase, they stop mid-staircase, just to ask each other, yo, where are we? Where we gotta go? And you're waiting for them to move. You're waiting for them to move. The escalator's not working, and it's all plugged up. You're in the middle of the staircase.
But before you even get there, for anyone saying, but can't you just go around? While you're trying to go up the stairs, there's a million people trying to go down the stairs, so you know you can't go around.
No, you cannot. So you got to wait until they figure it out, or you have to inject yourself in the conversation. Like, yo, hey, sir, where are you trying to go? You're in the wrong way. You got to go back, go back downstairs, take this train, and get out the way. Mm-hmm. That's what you gotta do.
It's like what happened to Google Maps? Cause like it's crazy. Last year, post COVID, obviously, I went to London for work. I was there. I'm taking the London Tube. I'm going from one job site to the other job site. I'm going places personally for dinner. I didn't ask nobody for directions. I went on Google Maps and I'm like, oh, so I gotta look for this one to go over there. All right, that sounds fine. I look up like the red line one, or I'm taking the brown one. I'll go find that one. Like, why can't people do the same when they come to New York?
Apparently, Google Maps must be a U.S. thing, because have you ever been approached by somebody that wanted to know where they're going, and they pull their phone, and their phone is literally on the Google Maps? So it's like you look at them like.
So this one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the train, the A train, which takes you to the airport, right? So these people, they're tourists. So they open the phone, and the app is like, how do you get to the airport? So then they point to the app and stop. They're like, the phone says to go to this stop. I'm like, yeah, so you gotta go to that stop right there. Just look out for the stop and you just get off. They're like, okay, so the phone's correct? I'm like, yeah, the phone's correct. Google Maps isn't going to lie to you. I don't think that's what Google's trying to do.
Yeah, Google Maps not trying to send you a death trap. So you like, are you worried that like, the Google Maps would have you get off at a
mind you, after after I gave them the instruction to follow Google Maps. Mm-hmm. They went to the people right across from me. They're like, Google Maps says to go here to go to the airport. Is that correct? I'm like, did you not just ask me? What the heck?
Dude, I think they must have some history with Google Maps, man. They must have got some sort of bad history with the map, you know? The map got them in the wrong neighborhood.
I don't know, man. But, you know what's worse, though? All right, so when you're on the train asking for directions, fine. You get off the train asking for directions, fine. You know what's even worse?
What?
When you're going down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
To catch the train.
Oh, and
you stop mid stairs, and you see your train at the platform, and the door closes on you because they stopped mid stairs.
The biggest inconvenience a tourist could ever do is make late for whatever you're trying to get to.
That's happened to me so many times, and you just end up sitting there wondering, like, what did you do wrong? Like, you did your work on time, you know, you helped the guy while you were outside find his way. What made you deserve to be, like, there's one thing if you don't see your train, right? So, like, you get down, you're going down the stairs, and, you know, they stop a little way on the stairs, like, that's fine, like, whatever, no train, yeah, I'm not going to complain about that. But when the train is at the platform, that is the worst. And you know what's happened to me so many times, Johnny?
Mm-hmm.
That same exact scenario, right? So then they would stop. And then they would continue going down the stairs, right? So then I end up missing the train. And I'm like, whatever, I'll get over it. Then they come up to me and they're like, hey, this is where you catch this train, right? I'm like, yeah. They're like, do you know when? So then they're like, oh, so one just passed? I'm like, yeah, one just passed. Like, oh, okay, sounds good, thank you. Like, seriously, they have to go on the same train that they just missed.
Mm-hmm. And you know what they could have done? You know what they could have done if they really was lost? You go the subway operators, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The booth, you go to this New York City Metro booth and ask a question there instead of getting on the staircase and then stop mid-flight down or up and interrupt another person's plans. Because look, once you don't work, once you know you clock out, you're trying to go home. You're trying to go back to sleep. You're trying to go eat your dinner.
The thing is, New Yorkers, they move on a time schedule. Like, I know my train is coming 5:05. I am leaving my office at 5:03. It takes me 30 seconds to get down the elevator. It takes me 45 seconds to get from the elevator door down the train stairs. I have 45 seconds extra for room for error. Like, I don't have time for anything. I gotta make it down there. And if I miss that train, I'm looking at another 20 to 25 minutes for the next one. And not even that. But I got to take that train and transfer to another train. So if I miss that one for 20 to 25 minutes, I'm waiting another 15 to 20 minutes on the second train stop.
Don't forget buses. The moment you get off that train, you're trying to catch that bus. And if you miss that bus, you're screwed.
Like, when you take everyone in New York, they have that schedule, like, everyone knows the time that their train is coming. Like, nobody is trying to miss that train time, man. But, you know, we forgive you guys. Like, we know everyone's a tourist everywhere. Like, when Johnny and I finally get to go to Korea and Thailand once this podcast starts paying, we're going to be just like that, maybe. Maybe,
but just do us a favor. Do us New Yorkers a favor. Stay away from the subway during rush hour. That's all we ask. That's all we ask.
Because
like, rush hour is our time.
You know, like, take the pictures, stop on the sidewalk, but don't stop on the stairs, man. Not the stairs.
Mm-mm. Because look, we're very patient, but you might catch that one New Yorker that's just going to be like, yo, you got me late coming home. My girl is angry at me, man. Yo, I got to be Jazz right now. I got to be Jazz right now.
You don't want to get your ass beat by New York, man. Don't want that.
Especially in Tim's or Black Air Force Ones.
But you know what? When you guys do come to New York to visit, you got... This is half and half beauty. This is half beauty, half the beast. I like to call them the mixtape salesman. It's a beautiful aspect for the guys that are selling.
It's
maybe half and half on the guys that are buying it.
Mm-hmm. See, the mixtape salesman, the mixtape salesmen are the old school hip hop tradition. When hip hop first came a thing, everybody was handing out mixtapes through cassette tapes, just trying to get their art to be recognized, you know? But in 2020, if you're selling mixtapes, my friend, I suggest that you get on with the times and go on SoundCloud, because I ain't buying your CDs because I don't own a CD player. I'm just saying, my man. I'm just saying, my man.
I respect the hustle still, though. I respect the hustle sometimes, you know? Like, the man's trying to put himself out there. You can't blame a brother for trying to...
You can't, but you can't blame him for not being up to date. I'm just saying, who got a CD player in this day and age? Okay, you know what? You know what? Anyone who got a CD player, just write down CD in the comments. You know, come out and proudly say, I got a CD player in my house because I am not going to
upgrade. What if the guys go comment and be like, my CD player sold on eBay for $500,000 as an antique? Now what? Come at me. They gonna come at your neck, Johnny. They gonna come at your neck. Watch.
I'm waiting.
Wait for it.
I'm waiting. You know what I'm saying? You are strong out here. I'm waiting.
10-15 years from now, when this episode hits, like, you know, a classic, somebody goes back and they listen to it, they gonna comment that. They're gonna be like, oh shit, I should have kept my CD player too. but you know, these mixtapes, you know, they gave me some interesting stories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this one time, right? I'm walking past, and this guy comes up. He's like, yo, you trying to buy my mixtape? I'm like, nah, man, I don't got no cash. I'm sorry, bro. He's like, there's a bank right down the block. You can go get some. I'm like, nah, man, they're not going to give me any, like, small change if I go to the bank. He's like, yo, bro, I got change for $1 million. Just go get some money. I'll give you change for whatever you need right now. So then I stop. I'm like, you got change for $1 million? He's like, yeah, bro, right in my pocket. Just get however much you want. I bust out the chain for $1 million right now. I'm like, bro, can you help a brother out?
Yeah, instead of me paying you, how about you just start being charitable and spread out that those thousands, those millions, you know what I'm saying?
So then he's looking at me, I'm like, bro, I'm struggling to pay for college right now. You got $1 million in your pocket, like, you could legit pay my whole college degree and you won't even miss anything from your pocket. I'm like, yo, help a brother out, bro. He's like, nah, man, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I gotta go, man. I gotta fight somebody else. dude.
Yeah, the one thing I gotta.
Like, I'm not even sure like how he did it though. Like, you know, like after he left me that day, right, I'm walking down to like cash the ATM. I'm like, what? How are you putting $1 million in his pocket? Like, it can't be $100 bills. Cause that's a lot of $100 bills. You think there's like a $500,000 bill or something out there, Johnny, that we don't know about?
Maybe he taped all his money inside his pants. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. He like one of those like drug traffickers out there that you see on TV. They tape in the phone and put it in my. And it's like, I got $1 million in my pocket right now. I'll get you change for whatever you need. Shout out to my boy, though. Like, if you listen and you remember me, my brother still needs your help, bro. Help me out.
just watch. See in the comment section, just saying. Yo, my man, you didn't get the change. I told you, man, I got the change. I got all you need out here, man. Buy my mixtape, bro. I got the word. I got the word out here, bro.
Dude, ain't much has changed. Your brother's still struggling. So if he's still trying to help me out, I'll be more than willing. You don't even got it. You can give me your pocket change. I'll put that thing up.
The one thing I could give credit to the mixtape people is they got confidence, man. They got confidence to approach you, to saying, "Yo, my man, yo, you like hip hop, like rap, like 2 Chainz."
That's the amazing. These dudes, they have confidence, man. Like, I don't even know where they get this confidence. Like, I wish I was this confident. I remember the other time. So me and one of my other coworkers were walking through Manhattan, well, Times Square in particular. So now this guy, he's completely new to the city. So I'm used to these guys telling him mistakes. So he ends up stopping. I walk right past him. He ends up stopping. So then I end up stopping now after he stops. Because I'm like, I don't want to leave the guy by himself. He's new to New York. So I walk back. So the guy gives him the CD. He's like, "Yo, man, give me however much you want. Support a brother." He's like, so my coworker's like, "Yeah, man, definitely. I'll help support you. I like the hustle, whatever." So he gave him $5, right?
Mm-hmm.
The dude was like, "Yo, why are you disrespecting me?" So my coworker's like, "What do you mean, bro? I'm trying to help you out." He's like, "You trying to help me out only $5? He's like, "Yo, my mixtape sells for $20. Get that shit out of here. Give me my $20 right now." I'm like, "Yo." So then I'm like, "Dude, he's trying to help you out." He's like, so then he started arguing with both of us. He's like, "No, man, my mixtape sells for $20. He's like, "No, you see what these CDs sell for on iTunes?" He's like, $20 right now, or we're squaring up. I'm like, "Holy crap." And, dude, this is my coworker's first job and first beat on the job.
Oof.
He literally only has $5.
He just starting out. He's just starting out, man. Starting out his future. Damn.
The guy only has $5 to his name. He is so kind. He's willing to give the only money that he has to his name to help support somebody out because he respects the hustle. He's like, "Oh, this is cool, man." And the dude is like out here and like, "Nah, you gotta give me more than that."
Because he believes, you know, so you gotta have belief in the work you do, and he believes the value of his mixtapes.
When I think about it, I respect him. You know, he knows the value of the work. He's like, "Yo, I spent hours in the studio recording this mixtape. It's worth $20 a pop. Like, if you ain't willing to pay $20 a pop, I'm gonna pop you."
I had to go and find a shop that sells CDs that burn, bro. Do you know how much time it took to look for that shop and then to get my laptop?
What if? He's like, "Nah, I have to find somewhere that sells blank CDs. Then I have to find the casings for these blank CDs. Then I have to put the blank CDs in the case and pretend that it got songs on it. You better give me my $20 now."
Which is another thing too out here for the tourists out here. Just know that some people, they gonna scam you on that. They gonna say, "Yo, man, I got the word right here, man. I got the word. I got the rhythm in the voice out here, man. I got the word of the soul of the world." You know what I'm saying? You buy the CD, you pay $20 for it. You go home, put into your CD player.
This one guy, he came up to me and he. So like I'm walking, he's walking, he's like, "Yo, bro, I just got signed by this label." I can't remember the name of the label that he said he got signed, right?
Mm-hmm.
"Like, yo, I just got signed, bro. But I'm gonna give you the exclusive. You're gonna listen to it before it drops on iTunes, before I become the next big thing." He's like, "Yo, yeah, support your brother out. I'm gonna give it to you. You're gonna take a picture with me." And he's like, "That picture gonna be worth money in a couple months. You're gonna see everybody gonna be like, 'Yo, how you get that picture with him before he drops, bro?'" I'm like, "Yo, this man, I like what you're saying, bro, but I ain't got no money to help you out right now. I'm trying to pay my own bills."
And he's probably selling you a blank CD.
Dude,
a blank CD.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. I would not be surprised.
It would be crazy, right, if, like, you bought a CD, right, and on the first track, it's just saying, "Yo, you got scammed, man. I can't believe you bought this CD, man. Who you still on a CD player, man? You still on that old man shit right there, man? Yo, go get yourself a laptop, get yourself some Wi-Fi, And boom, you got your music right there. I can't believe you actually fell for this shit, man. A CD player.
You know what does it? Because you know you're right though. These mixtapes they definitely have aged out. I don't see them as frequently anymore, which kind of sucks, man. I miss these guys. Like, and I wish a tourist could see one in New York or nearby. But the candy sales, man. Technology ain't stopping them, man. The vending machine ain't even put them out of business.
No. They walk around with a paper, pink, red bag. Got themselves some M&M's, Hershey bars, Snicker bars. Got all the chocolate bars you need. You know what I'm saying? When they approach you, they tap on the shoulder, turn you around, shake your hand without you asking, and say, "Yo, what's up, my brother? I'm out here selling candy, and do you want to support my business venture? You know what I'm saying? Do you support my little entrepreneur business, my friend? What? You're leaving?
What happens if you don't buy it, Johnny?
Oh, if you just say, no, oh, come on, man, you help a brother out, you know what I'm saying? Help me out, you know what I'm saying? You help me, I help you, you know what I'm saying, man? Oh, where you going, man? Yo, you gonna leave me like this, man? You're not gonna support this business I'm trying to do, man? I forget you, dude. Forget you.
I respect the hustle,
just don't like the method.
but you know what, whose hustle I really respect though? The men that stand right like an avenue out from like Fifth Ave, and if nobody knows, Fifth Ave, you got the Louis store, the Gucci store, Burberry,
Gucci, get your Gucci here. Get your Louis.
That's
Louis.
You're walking on the block, and then all of a sudden, right off of the sidewalk, you hear somebody's like, get your Gucci, man. And then you stop. You're like, oh, you're going to want that Gucci bag, the new Gucci bag. I got it. He's like, I promise it's real. It's real, man. I got it right out of the Gucci store.
Mm-hmm. You buy it. You buy it, right?
This one time I seen, the guy's like, it's like, I got the new LV collection. I look at it, and it doesn't even say LV. It sounds like, I don't even know what the letters was on the bag now that I'm trying to think about it, but it did not have an L.
It's LU. That's what you got. It's LU. It's LU.
He's like, dude, I'll, you know, man, my boy could have been like, LV going out of business. I got the new and upcoming brand right here.
You buy a Gucci bag, it's only one C in Gucci.
it's crazy, man. It's crazy to think to see. And I remember, it's not even, you know, right, so there's a sale, right, Johnny?
Mm-hmm.
There's just one time, right? There, all right, so in New York, you got the salesman, you got the beggars, right? Because there's a ton of homeless people in New York, which is a sad state, you know, there's a ton of homeless people. And unfortunately, it is sad to say, and it's one of the things that kind of does keep the city dirty, because bad things happen to people, whether they want to or not. But there's this one time I get out of work, right? So, the one of the beauties in here, there's always a hot dog stand in like a corner every block, right? So, I go up there with a Nathan's hot dog stand. So, I buy the hot dog with a $20 bill. So, the guy gives me back my change. It was $110, $15. In $2 bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this dude comes up to me, and so I'm like, you know, Jerry, so I'm like, all right, you know, I'll stop, I'll listen, I'll buy a dude a hot dog, I'll be a nice guy. So I'm like, all right, do you want a hot dog? He's like, so he stops. He's like, no, I didn't ask you for a hot dog. Hear my story. So I'm like, all right, cool. Well, maybe he doesn't, like, want anything from me. He's like, it's my birthday this Saturday coming up. I'm like, oh, cool, happy birthday. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, well, you know, I don't got a job, and I haven't been working yet. I was like, oh, crap, so you want me to get you something to eat right now? I was like, I don't got a problem with that. He's like, bro, I told you to listen to my story. He's like, my birthday's coming up. I want to go do my laundry, get fresh, go out with my boys, and we're going to have a good time. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, man, that's cool. Yeah, I hope you get to do that for your birthday. He's like, yeah, and you can help me out with that. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you got $17 back. He's like, you know, that can help me do my laundry. It can help me go out. I'm like, nah, man, I don't think it can. $17 don't go that far in New York.
No, it does not. No, it does not.
So he's like, yo, let me finish my story, man. He's like, yeah, you know, I want to celebrate my birthday, so you gonna help me out. I'm like, if you want, dude, can get a hot dog. So I look at the hot dog guy. I'm like, yo, I know your hot dog is $3. You can help this brother out and give him one for $2. He's like, yeah, I'll help my brother out. So then I take $2 out of my pocket, and I give it to the guy. I'm like, bro, go get yourself a hot dog. Happy birthday. You know, I know you're not working, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yo, you a cheap ass bum, man. You broke. You a broke guy. Get that shit out of here. $2. What you mean $2? You broke.
Yo,
yeah, you ain't wrong, man. You just told the whole life story to everybody walking down the block. I am broke. Shit.
That's, you only get that from New York, man. You would get someone who's in a tougher situation than you just look at you and say, man, you a broke.
It was like, bro, I'm out here, you know, trying to help somebody get some food in their stomach. Like, the guy telling me he's not working. You know, like, I'm going to help you out, get you some food. It's like, no, I'm not going to give you all the money in my pocket. It doesn't work like that. I'm going to help you out, though.
Yeah, especially you just saying, like, look, man, look. I'm just out here trying to get fresh for my birthday, you know what I'm saying? Clean my clothes, you know what I'm saying? Go out with friends, you know? Ball out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ball out. And you can help that. You can facilitate that if you give me that $17, my man. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, what the hell, man? But that's the beauty of me. Man, I'll put that on the beauty side. Like, you know, it's not something you see every day.
No, it isn't.
And here's the thing that Johnny and I have for everybody. For everyone that's listening that lives in New York, if you have any things that you would consider to be the beauty or the beast, DM us what you think. We want to share your stories on a future episode. And anybody that is living anywhere else, send us your city with the craziest experience you've had, either going to work or coming from work, and let us know. We're pretty interested in hearing what you got to say.
And just one more thing, just a nice reminder, you know?
Yeah.
If y'all got CD players, go hit me up. Let me know. Let me know how many y'all people did an upgrade.
Especially if you sold it on eBay for some big money. I want you to stun on my boy's life right now, because I still got a CD player in my basement.
Y'all need to upgrade, man. CDs are done, man. CDs are done. Blu-ray's the way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
iTunes. You know what I'm saying? iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud.
Yeah. But anyways, everybody, it's your boy Axoflex.
It's Johnny Fax.
And we'll catch you guys later.
Yep. Yo, we out.
Yeah. Peace.